So I don't know if you've ever had the experience when you've been stopped in the street and asked to complete a standing order for charity of thinking to yourselves, well, okay, but couldn't my ideas and my expertise be worth more to you than the £5 a month? Well, like many people here, no doubt, I've been involved from time to time in offering my professional skills, in my case, my marketing skills, to causes that I believe in. And I've usually found that not only has that been a more effective way for me to contribute than I would ever be able to financially, but I've also really enjoyed it and really benefited from it in terms of my own career and development. So I began to wonder whether it might make sense to create a platform specifically designed to make it quicker and easier for any professional marketer to find the right pro bono opportunities for them. And about 3 months ago, I launched Pimp My Cause to see if I could make that work. I will spend about half of the time today telling the story so far of those 3 months since that launch, and then look at other spheres of activity that can be and are being reimagined as participatory platforms. So I think any story of Pimp My Cause has to begin with the name. It wasn't a completely uncontroversial choice, and I was a bit nervous about it before the launch. We had a plan B, which was to call it Marketing for Good. But as a new project with no promotional budget at all, we needed something that could capture people's imagination and stick in people's minds. And the name Pimp My Cause has been able to do that. We met the advertising legend Sir John Hegarty a few days ago. And by coincidence, he'd just been approached by somebody about to launch a tech startup who was asking him whether it would be better to use a sort of left brain name that tells everybody what the business does but wasn't necessarily particularly creative, or to take a wackier, more creative approach and not necessarily tell people what the business does, like the name Orange for the mobile phone network. And the first thing Hegarty told us was that he really liked the name Pimp My Cause because it sort of combines both approaches and that it says what we're about. And as he put it, you know, once you've heard it once, you're unlikely to forget it. Structurally, it functions rather like what's called high concept pitching in the film industry, where scripts for new films are often pitched to investors, expressed as one idea in terms of another. So, for example, the film Speed was pitched as Die Hard on a bus. Or the film Aliens was pitched as Jaws on a spacecraft, or the film 13 Going on 30 was pitched as Big for Girls. And Pimp My Cause is obviously the Pimp My Ride of charity marketing, which gives the charities a sense of gaining access to a world of professional marketing that they wouldn't always benefit from, and gives the marketers a sense that they're doing something sort of not so much out of generosity, but out of a sense of their own professional pride. In terms of the platform itself, it's completely free to use, and structurally it functions rather like online dating, in that you can search and browse listings of profiles to find your own best matches, in this case in terms of the types of causes that you're interested in and the types of skills you have to offer. We're also starting to layer in knowledge sharing opportunities, so obviously there's a forum for causes and marketers to work together to address some of the challenges that the causes face. There's also a Twitter help desk, which borrows on the way some of the corporates are innovating to use Twitter to deliver their customer services. Well, we're applying that to pro bono advice, so any cause anywhere in the world can tweet their marketing questions at Pimp My Cause, and we'll create our best answers to their questions, post them in a forum, tweet them, send them a tweet with a link to that post, and then open up the discussion to our community of marketers to take the ideas forwards. We're also running a series of expert interviews where we pull in and interview some of the top marketers in the country and also overseas, and ask them a few questions to pull out the key concepts from their books or the insights from their experience. But then we actually set them to work on the platform, so they have to choose their favorite causes from Pimp My Cause and start generating some fresh insights and original thinking just for them. We have now just over 170 charities and social ventures on the site to choose from. And we started to get some interesting case studies coming in, particularly in terms of how the marketers are helping the causes to make the transition to digital models of innovation and communications. And to zoom in on one case study, we've been working quite closely with UK Youth, who are a mid-sized national charity with about 100 years of history. They're focused on the youth development sector. They have a network of about 40,000 volunteers, and they reach about 750,000 young people each year with their programs. But historically, they've always depended on public money. So they've never had to do much of their own marketing, and they've never really had to raise their profile to the extent where probably most of the young people who they support with their programs are probably unaware that it's UK Youth that's the organization behind the initiatives that they're benefiting from. So we've pulled together a task force through Print My Cause and have been working with UK Youth's new marketing team and some of their trustees. And the task force has essentially been me and a couple of people from the BBC's apprentice show who've been volunteering through Pimp My Cause and supporting us as ambassadors, namely Alex Epstein, who, as it happens, was on our homepage slider when we took this screenshot, who was on Series 6 and who now runs a brand storytelling consultancy, and Melody Hosseini, who was on the most recent series of The Apprentice and who runs a youth development social enterprise. And we've been essentially working with UK Youth and looking at ways for them to essentially leapfrog the whole era of expensive, above-the-line, analog brand development that they could never really afford anyway and that could all too easily look rather contrived and artificial if superglued onto the outside of their organization at this stage, and skip instead straight to the kinds of digital participatory initiative where they actually have the potential to have a much stronger natural advantage with their strong network. So just to pick out one of the things that we've been looking at in that task force, we've been looking at designing a new micro-platform to go in the new UK Youth website, which will be called the Open Generation, which has a double meaning. So on the one hand, the Open Generation will refer to the first generation of young people to grow up with the open, collaborative communications models of the internet available to them throughout their entire lives. And then secondly, the Open Generation will refer literally to the open generation of ideas and initiatives. So this will be a platform for UK Youth to co-create their own programs with the young people that they're designed to support and with the youth workers who will help them implement their programs. Other case studies include one of our marketers in the Northwest who has developed a 15-month digital strategy for a regional independent branch of the RSPCA and is now working with them to help them implement that plan, or the user engagement agency Zabisco, who've come up with a really neat format that they call Digital Bootcamp, whereby they're taking one of our causes, coaching them through 4 weeks of activities to help them turn around their online marketing, and then reporting on progress with sort of reality-style blogs, which enable the other causes to essentially look over their shoulders and see the process and extract insights from that process for themselves. There's also been quite a lot of ad hoc marketing support along the lines of graphic design, web development, or high-level network introductions for charities like Upbeat, which is based here in London, which is an innovative charity addressing issues of mental health through music and performance, or Samrong Farm, which is a pioneering project in Cambodia, which takes in street children, gives them a rounded education, and also supports them in growing up in one of the country's first sustainable eco-farms. Something that's helped us with our recruitment, being a startup with no promotional spend, has been getting some nice media coverage. So we've been featured several times in The Guardian, Brand Republic, the broader charity and marketing press, as well as being picked out by the government's Big Society program. And we've just announced our first corporate partnership with the Triodos Bank, the sustainable finance specialists, as well as being in early stage collaboration with the likes of Virgin, IBM, and Baker & McKenzie. So we hope that the opportunities we'll be able to offer will continue to expand quite rapidly. That's pretty much it for the story of Pimp My Cause so far. In some sense, we haven't invented anything new. in that, you know, the pro bono tradition has obviously been around long enough for us to have a Latin tag to describe it. But if we have done something new, it's simply that we've reimagined the organizational context in which marketing pro bono can take place. So we've redesigned it as a participatory platform. And it's thanks to that platform that it's quicker and easier for the right marketer to find the right cause for them. It's thanks to the platform open collaborative approach that it's easier for knowledge to migrate from case to case. And it's also the platform approach which enables easier collaboration across organizational boundaries. So, for example, three corporate marketers may not necessarily be three times better than one, but one corporate marketer and a web developer and a designer from an agency collectively can contribute something far more significant. So I'm going to spend my remaining minutes looking at the why, what, and how of reimagining other spheres of activity as participatory platforms. In terms of the why, a CEO of Sun Microsystems once famously said, I'm sure you've heard it, no matter who you are, most of the best people in the world work for somebody else. Or as we frequently put it to our causes, no matter who they are, most of the world's talent and resource lie outside of the boundaries of their own organization. Modern communications technologies just make it so easy to identify, access, and harness this external talent and resource that, quite simply, people and organizations that get very good at doing that are going to have a massive advantage over people and organizations that don't. I think one of the most exciting things about this development is also that it's a great leveler. So a very small organization, even individual people who get very good at doing this, can live alongside or even outcompete much larger organizations than themselves. In terms of the what, obviously, platforms approaches are being applied to, you know, vast areas of activity. Everything from land share, which connects people who want to grow their own food with people who've got a spare bit of garden for them to do it on, to Galaxy Zoo, which enables amateur astronomers collectively to classify galaxies faster and more reliably than professionals. And I don't have time to give a sort of curated taxonomy of the various platform approaches that can be taken. But in terms of signposting, if you're interested in participatory platforms for creating social and environmental value, I really recommend the book Co-Opportunity by John Grant. And you can actually see our interview with him on the Print My Cause website. Or if you're interested in participatory platform approaches to marketing, there are some great examples in Damien Ryan's book, The Best Digital Marketing Campaigns in the World. And as it happens, there's also an interview with him on the Print My Cause website. Or if you're interested in platform approaches to opening up your data and finding the interesting things that other people can do with that data, then I really recommend Wikonomics or Macroeconomics by Don Tapscott, who, as it happens, has not been interviewed on Print My Cause yet. Nevertheless, it wasn't that long ago that Tim Berners-Lee, the inventor of the World Wide Web, said that he felt that so far we've accessed about 2% of the way in which the internet can transform our lives. And I would say that it's probably a similar proportion for participatory platforms. I would say the vast majority of the potential to reimagine things and reinvent things through participatory platforms is still there to be tapped. To give one example, one of our causes is currently looking at ways to try to reinvent riding on the London Tube as a participatory platform in a bid to make London the friendliest city in time for the 2012 Olympics. If anyone wants to join them, I'm actually seeing them tomorrow and would be very happy to make the introductions. So finally, looking at the how of participatory platforms, I'm a great believer that if you, in the power of questions, and that if you ask the right questions, you'll get the right answers. So I've just put together a 5-question creative framework that you can have a bit of fun using when you're thinking potentially about reinventing any activity you're involved in at work or in your leisure pursuits as a participatory platform. And the first question is, what specific enthusiasm can you identify in that activity? And I would say that this is a radical alternative to the brand positioning models of the 90s and early noughties. So, for example, when I was involved in global brand development for the L'Oreal brand, Kérastase, brand development was all about you. It was about identifying your unique positioning, communicating that positioning in everything that you did, and making sure that you don't deviate that from that positioning in anything. So a nightmare for us at the time would have been something like a country selling the products at the wrong price, or giving away promotional gifts that didn't fully reflect our internationally defined brand positioning. And what I think has changed since then, and which changes with these kind of participatory approaches, is that what you're looking for is not your own unique positioning, but rather the specific enthusiasm that you can help other people to enjoy. And the second question I would ask is, what activity can you define for that enthusiasm that helps people to pursue that passion or enjoy that enthusiasm in a novel way? And here it can quite often help to think of it in terms of designing a new game. So, for example, Run London one year ran the competition North versus South, where they would time all of the competitors and then calculate whether the Northerners would be able to outrun the Southerners. Thirdly, I would ask in this creative framework, how can you modularize that activity? And this is about dividing it into bite-sized chunks, which make it easy and appealing for people to begin to get involved in what you're doing and then progress further from there. Or you can think about it in terms of creating different self-directed roles for different stakeholder groups or for different people with different amounts of time to contribute to your platform. You can also think of it in terms of creating new social customs in the way that sort of eBay created a whole structure around watch this item, contact seller, and you like on Facebook or retweet and follow Friday on Twitter. So you can think about it in terms of what new social norms you can create. Fourthly is how can you build relevance to your early adopters and sort of in brackets and then use them to reach the late majority. So I guess, you know, most people here will probably be familiar with Moore's chasm, which is the observation that a significant portion of innovation fails, not because it doesn't reach its early adopters, but because it fails to move from its early adopters to the mainstream. So if I've been talking not so much about invention, but about reinvention and reimagination through platforms, the guys at quirky.com, which is a new website in the US, have set about taking this process of reinvention and applying it to the process of invention itself. So every week they crowdsource new ideas for new product developments. Each week they choose two products to develop based on peer voting from the members of the website. And then they begin a product development process. And when they get to prototype stage, they make the product available for pre-purchase to their members. And they have something called threshold, whereby they don't move to manufacture until they've got sufficient pre-purchases to be fairly confident that they're going to make a financial return on the launch. And what's interesting then is that they can then approach the major retailers, and they can approach them with something which A, is a brand new product to market and has all of the story of a novelty, but B, has a substantial commercial evidence base that there is in fact a market to buy that product. So they're using their early adopter members of their site to reach a majority market. And then the final question in this framework is, what partners can you identify to share this enthusiasm with? So I don't know who it was who said that a perfect partnership is not so much about looking at each other, but about looking in the same direction. And I do believe that there is something very particular about these participatory approaches, which are all about a shared enthusiasm, which makes it much easier to find good collaborators and good partners, even at a very, very early stage, which is something that, you know, we've been lucky to find with Pimp My Cause. So if anyone wants to use that framework, I'm happy. I've got a slide summary, and I'd be happy to make that available through Andy. If you come up with intriguing ideas, I'd be very happy to spend some time on the phone with you see if there's anything I can do to sharpen the pencil on the ideas or connect you with resources that, that may be of use to you. And thank you very much.